Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan. When I am looking for a quilt that has sort of a little bit more minimalist look and has a huge, giant impact with design, the first place I go is to look and see what Debbie Grifka has done lately, because I love her work. It just speaks to me on so many levels. And when she wrote me and said she's got a book coming out called Lines by Design Quilts, I just knew we had to talk about it because it is fabulous. So, Debbie, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat.
Do you know what? I have somebody I'm making a quilt for, and I sent them to your website the other day. I said, just go look through here and tell me what you like.
So I can get a thanks.
Because that's the style that they like. And so I'm like, okay, fine. Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. So your website is called Esh House Quilts.
Correct.
Tell me again what that comes from.
That comes from when I was a teenager, I was sort of enamored of fashion design and, you know, all the great big fashion houses in Paris. And then when I was trying to think of a name for my business, I live on Esh Court. And so I thought, well, let's go with Esh House Quilts. And since I work at home, that also had a certain appeal for there. So that's sort of how it evolved.
The fashion of Debbie is Esh House.
Yeah.
I like it. So when you started thinking about a book and what you wanted to put in it, tell me a little bit about how that went. You know, what did you think about?
Well, it actually took me a while, honestly, to figure it out. I kind of wanted to write a book, but it took me a while to come up with a theme. And a couple of years ago, I realized I'm designing a lot of quilts that are based on lines, either just the lines themselves or taking a shape and making an outline of it and that kind of work. And so I thought, okay, that could work. And also the reason I liked that idea is because I do those kinds of designs both with piecing and with applique, and I had not really wanted to do just one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it sort of developed into the book.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, you basically mm-hmm. were looking at something you're already doing, and then you sort of worked in series with it.
Exactly, yes.
Neat. So in the book, tell me a little bit about how it's laid out.
Yeah, so there are six chapters in the book. The first is a technique chapter where I cover all the techniques that are used in the book. And then the projects are divided into five chapters, starting with pure line, the ones that are based on pure line. Then we have squares and rectangles, hexagons and diamonds, circles and curves, and pictorial quilts.
What I want you to do is tell me a little bit about how you think about quilts that are, you know, like your style. You know, you do them a lot, but what somebody like me who wants to come in and recreate, you know, one of your pieces, how do I think about color and fabric? Because it's different than regular patchwork.
Yeah, I tend to not use a whole lot of different colors and fabrics in my work. I use a lot of solids, though many of the quilts in the book have prints also. I use them as well. But so usually when I use prints, almost often only use a small set of colors. Like the cover quilt, for instance, is called Fault Line, and that has a lot of print in it, but they're all either red or orange, and they're in quite, with the line is white in that quilt. But they're in a fairly narrow range of colors and shades and values. There's not a lot of value variation in that quilt. So you have a lot of fabric variation, but it still doesn't read as very varied. Does that make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah. I think that that's a good way to think about it, because I think what happens is when people see work that's not like their normal go-to style, you're mm-hmm. not really sure how to interpret it so that you get the same feel of the quilt.
Yeah.
So less is more.
Yes. And also, when you're using solids, that makes it kind of simple too, because they have such a graphic impact and the color is very saturated, so that makes it easy too. Sometimes, if you want to try a look that you're not used to, sometimes going with solids can be an easy way to pick fabrics because you can't go wrong.
Yeah. That's true. Are there any of the quilts in here that were inspired maybe by something unusual or maybe happened because something, you know, you were doing one thing and something else happened?
Well, the last quilt in the book called Community Isolation was inspired by a book I read. And it was called South of Superior by Ellen Airgood. And it was basically about a community on the shore of Lake Superior here in Michigan, which is way far north of where I live. But just there were a lot of themes in the book about being part of a community and feeling isolated either from the community or from outside the community. And I just thought that was very interesting. So that quilt was inspired by that book.
Now, this quilt uses the applique with the bias, right?
Yes, it does.
I am, like, obsessed with understanding this now. I'm like, this is so cool. Can you explain what that is, what you're doing with bias?
So I kind of use bias in a lot of my quilts, kind of like a pencil. This community isolation quilt that I've been talking about is kind of a landscape quilt, a very abstract landscape, but basically I use the bias tape to make there's a big curve in it that's the shoreline, and then I've got some bias tape making little trees and little houses and things like that. So I kind of draw with it.
So when you're drawing with it, are you sketching something down on the cloth first, or how do you get the shape what you want?
Yeah, I usually sketch the shape in advance, and then I usually use freezer paper templates to trace around so I know exactly where to put the bias.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Now, you have some really great ones with circles, but you've done circles with bias and with what, like regular applique?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, there's a table runner in the book called Watermark that has bias applique circles, and then there's also a bigger quilt that's about, I think it's about 64 inches square, called Roadwork, where the circles are using traditional machine applique with fusible.
So do you like is the circle one of your favorite shapes, or do you have a favorite shape in here?
That's hard to say. I do like a lot of rectangles and squares, but circles are always fun too. You know, I often, when I'm designing a quilt, I start with a shape I feel like playing with. And so I guess it depends what mood I'm in on any given day.
Yeah. Well, that probably is the same for a lot of us, you know.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I like curvy things, so I tend to gravitate towards that. When you're doing shapes, and you know, your circles look so perfect, the ones with the bias, is there a trick for getting them down there so neatly?
Well, they're probably not as perfect. Our human eye is wonderful at making things look good. Our brain eliminates some of those little wobbles when we look at things. But I do make a circle template, you know, and untrace it onto the fabric background, and then, you know, pin it in place and stitch it down. So just usual, you know, doing things the usual way and a bit of practice. You know, the more you do anything, the easier it becomes.
Yeah. So do you like to do machine applique?
I do. I also love hand applique as well. I didn't use any hand applique projects for the book, but I always have one going on. I have a group I get together with every couple of weeks where we get together and do hand work, and many of them are hand quilters, but I usually have a hand applique project in the works.
It's so much more portable. You can just, you know, than taking the machine to.
And it's very relaxing.
Yes. Yeah, I like it a lot. I haven't done enough of it lately. Do you find that you get in these sort of modes where you're like, oh, I haven't done that in a long time?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's one of the things I really like about, you know, this group I belong to is that that gives me the opportunity to do it every 2 weeks. And it's not that unusual that I don't do much in between the meetings, but it's really nice to be able to do it, just have that time set aside for getting together with friends and sitting around and doing some relaxing hand work.
Now, are these friends, you know, we're talking a lot about here on the show this month about finding, you know, our like-minded souls, you know, the people that we, you know, find online a lot of times, but you're in-person friends. Have you been with this group like a long time?
I have. It's probably getting close to maybe, we must be getting close to 10 years now. But
wow.
They are all pretty traditional quilters for the most part. Mm-hmm. But we all, you know, like quilters, we all love fabric and doing stuff, and we all appreciate each other's styles. And some of them made some of the quilt tops in the book for me. So that was really, they're just a wonderful group of people. As far as, I also belong to our local Modern Quilt Guild, so I always enjoy those meetings and getting together with that group of people.
It's always, that's the best part, isn't it? To see what everybody's working on, you know, you hope.
Yeah, yeah. I think show and share is always my favorite part of the meeting. There's always so many cool projects happening.
My group, sometimes the favorite part is like, what have you bought lately? You know, we have to show that.
Yep.
It's not just what we made, you know, we have what we're going to make in the future. So this is another important part of the sharing.
All our awesome plans that we have.
Right. So when the book came back, you know, as authors, you know, the books go away and the quilts go away for a long time. And when the books finally came to your house, was there something in there where you're like, oh, this turned out like, you know, like a photo shoot in it that you were like, oh my gosh, look at that.
Yeah, I was very excited by the photos in the book. You know, the publisher, F&W Fonz and Porter, did all the photography, and I just love what they did with all the, you know, the beauty shots and the flat shots. Beauty shots are always more fun, you know, because they sort of stage them. So I was very excited about that. You know, the front cover has a radiator on it, which sort of reinforces the line concept of the book. And it's hard to believe it's real after you've been working on it for so long and the quilts go away and you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
Look at this. I actually wrote a book.
I know. That's it. I mean, I still have this feeling every single time. So it's the most exciting part to be able to hold it in your hand. They did a beautiful job capturing your style, Debbie.
Oh, thank you. I thought so too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. We're going to take a break and chat next time.
American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcase. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one block pillow, or all four projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. Visit Debbie Grifka out at eshhousequilts.com and check out her book, Lines by Design Quilts. So I'm looking around on the internet, and I spotted these really cute bags, and I thought, oh, well, let's just take a look at that. And they had this really neat webbing on it, and that led me to the makers and designers who have all kinds of really fun stuff under the name of Kenzie Mack and Company. So I wrote them a note, and now I have Nancy Shammy here. She works with her daughter, Lauren White, and we're going to talk about some unusual fabrics and some other things. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Pat.
So, you know, isn't that funny how, like, the trail, this little breadcrumb trail takes you to meet people on the internet?
It does.
So tell me a little bit about your company. You and your daughter do this together, right?
We do. We both design for the pattern company. We started off doing repurposed and upcycled, and that's where the webbing came into play. And we started putting it on purses, and we've made numerous things with it.
So I found that just really, really fun that you were doing all this upcycling. Do you still do some of that? Is it part
of
the business?
We do a little bit. We have quite a following from our – we did a lot of upcycled skirts made out of old sweaters, and people still request those. So they're fun to make.
Yeah, are you going like, no, I've moved on. I don't do that now.
I can't resist that because I still have hundreds of sweaters.
Oh my goodness. Well, so were you selling them like in online, or were they in boutiques?
We did both online, and we did shows, and then just word of mouth, people would contact us.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the this jute webbing. Would you describe what it is first?
It is what everyone has under their couch. It's true upholstery webbing. It's made in three, like, third world countries. So every time we get a big bale shipment of it in, ours even varies slightly. Typically, if you would just look at it, they look the same. But when you really start to put ribbons and embellish them, they do have different measurements to them. They all are about 3 3/4 inches wide. But we can't say center your inch and a half ribbon because it won't always fit. But we
painted it. So how did you discover it?
I think just in our repurposing days, we were constantly looking at different products when we would be different places. And I said, I know we can do something with this. So we bought a big roll of it, and I started making different totes and finally came up with the Elite Tote, which was our first pattern. And that with the Fat Quarter Floor Tuffet today are our best-selling of all time, and they're some of our first patterns.
I know. Isn't that amazing to that you get all new people find you via things that they've been, you know, loving? That's really cool. So tell me, how do you sew with this stuff? I mean, do we need bigger needles, thicker thread?
You do. Okay. You do. We suggest a 90-weight needle or a 90-weight thread and a 40-weight needle. 40-weight thread and a 90 needle. Because it is dense, the fibers are short, so you want a little bit thicker thread.
Okay. It's easy to find.
Easy to find. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're using cotton thread, right?
Yes. Orifil is what we're using, the 40 weight.
Okay. Yeah. So that's easy to find.
And
so it's not like anything too unusual.
It's the green bobbin.
Right. Yes, exactly. The green. I love that color coded, right? Couldn't get
that's
any
right.
better. So when you have the layers, because it's a different type of material, do people need to use like a special foot on their sewing machine?
Not at all. And what we just have you do when you're doing the top band of it, of the totes, any of the tote patterns, we have you start the inside band and the outside band on opposite sides of the tote, so then you don't have all those seams, you know, making it too thick. I can sew easily through 4 layers of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've been, you yourself have been sewing a very long time, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Over 30 years, and I sew every single day and love every minute of it.
I just wrote you this morning, and you go, yes, I'm here sewing. That's like...
Yeah, I was. I finished piecing one of our new patterns that'll come out for spring.
Ah, perfect, perfect. Well, let's change gears a little a second, because you had told me about some little tricks that you like to do with the hexagon shape. Do you tell me about that?
Well, I love hexagons, as do so many other people, and I don't really enjoy the process of sewing them together. So I thought there's got to be a better, easier, faster way. So I just experimented with different size strips, and I have found that if you use, say, for a 6-inch hexi, a 2-inch strip works well. And on our website, it shows step-by-step how to do this. You just sew strips to the top and the bottom, and you turn it into a rectangle, and then you can come up with all sorts of designs, including secondary designs happen when you offset the hexagons that have been turned into rectangles.
It is really clever. That is just, it makes it so much easier.
It does. There's a little bit of extra sewing time involved, preparing all of them to turn into the rectangles. But once you have them, then your design wall, you'll stand at it for hours coming up with different things to do with them.
I know, and you have some nice little tricks for, looks like little speed sewing tricks there on your article, too. So that people have to come check that out. And let me just give your website name. I'll spell it kenziemac.com. So they can find it. Now, do you have a sewing group locally that you get to sew with?
I do. I have been, I've lived in the Phoenix area since the early 80s, and my first classes that I ever took that were serious were at the Quilted Apple, which is no longer in existence. I'm sorry to say, it was Lorraine Cinemas. I learned from the best of the best, and then I became a teacher there. And the group of us that either worked there or taught there, to this very day, we meet every other month.
Oh,
it's pretty incredible. We have a lot of Phoenix designers that came out of the Quilted Apple.
Yeah, that was one of the first shops that I think I, you know, like when I started quilting and you looked at the advertisements, they always had something, you know, they were very active, always out there in the in the world of quilting.
Yes.
How lucky you were to actually be able to be there.
I was living in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. So I was looking around at your different projects, and I saw one that was super cute, and I thought people really should go take a look at it. It's called the Hula Hut. The Hula Hut. Tell me about that.
That is actually one of Lauren's designs, and you could either buy about 10 yards of fabric, or you can use a queen size sheet or king size. And the one on the pattern cover, we actually painted it because we were doing our booth at market that year in all of the glitz fabric. And so we painted our own fabric to match the rest of our totes and quilts and things we were making. And so the cover does show that. And how ours differs is there are other hula hut type patterns out there. And our top is completely detachable, because where the children get it most dirty is going in and out of the hut part. And so we devised a way to put the body of it onto the hula hoop, so then you can just take that off to launder.
Oh, well, that's perfect. All of the all the parents will thank you for that one when they make it.
Yes, for sure. And then with that comes our beach ball pattern that has been really popular. There's an actual beach ball inside, so we made several to match.
Oh, isn't that funny? So you like cover a beach ball with fabric. How fun.
Yes.
Okay, that is really clever. I'm going to have to come and see these things in person. Are you going to be at the trade show this year, the spring trade show?
I'll be at fall, but not spring.
Okay. Not spring. Okay. Well, I'll be at fall too, so I'll have a chance to see you there. So we'll see. What else? Do you travel? Because you know,
I do. I'll travel to teach. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they can find out your teaching schedule, or do they just write you?
They write to me, and then I give them all the scoop.
Okay. That's now. Does Lauren also quilt?
Yes, she does. In fact, she's got some real cute ones coming out for this new spring line that we're doing. And, you know, that was a dream come true for me that she wanted to do this. And she just has taken off with it now. So it's been a real interesting process, and it's a lot of fun having her in the business and seeing all the things that she's now creating.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I can't imagine. It must be just so nice to, you know, everybody wants their children to have, you know, to enjoy what they enjoy, their hobby.
Absolutely.
Oh, lucky you. Now, do you guys write on your blog, right? So from your website?
We both do. Uh-huh.
Okay.
We live about 10 minutes apart, and sometimes we do it individually in our own studios, and sometimes mm-hmm. we do them together.
So this has been just fantastic fun. I am so glad that I took that little rabbit trail down to find you.
We are too. Thank you so much.
Well, Nancy, this is wonderful. I will definitely stop by and see you.
Okay, sounds good.
Visit them at kenziemack.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. We are sponsored by Moda Fabrics, so we'll be right back after the break.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Luck. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to Americans Patchworks podcast, and I am Pat Sloan. I have got one of my favorite people back on the show. Melissa Corey of Happy Quilting is back. She is the author of Irish Chain Quilts, which is a fabulous, fabulous book on different ways to sort of spruce up the Irish Chain quilt that you want to make. But also today we're going to talk about some other things, including the Splendid Sampler. So, Melissa, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm just, you know, you are so nice to have agreed to work with Jane and I, Jane Davis and I, on the Splendid Sampler. And you were our, you were also the person that I asked to be the first designer to have a block besides Jane and I. So I appreciate that. That's kind of a, were you scared?
I was a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. It was a little nerve-wracking to be the guinea pig, but it was so amazing. It is such an amazing group. I am just, I'm blown away by the whole thing, and it really was
a little nerve-wracking, but oh, so much fun. As soon as it went live, it was just all fun and games from there on out.
I know. Somebody has to be first, and somebody has to be last. Kate Spain is last, and so I'm like, Kate, are you okay? You know that you're last. Somebody has to be last. So your project for the Splendid Sampler, which we have the website, thesplendidsampler.com, was a group of hearts about your family. When you started thinking about making your block, what trigger points did you use?
Oh, goodness. Well, so when, you know, we were originally asked to design something, we were kind of told to design something around what inspires us in our quilting, mm-hmm. you know, and for me, automatically, that's what makes me happy, because quilting makes me happy, and nothing brings me more joy than my family, of course. Mm-hmm. So the large heart represented my sweetheart, and then the five hearts around that represent my five children who, you know, are just my inspiration, and they are all growing up too quickly, and it's just crazy.
It was
a lot of fun to see it all just kind of come together, and then to see everybody on the Splendid Sampler take that and then put their own inspiration behind it, have their own representation of who those hearts represented for them, or some of them did really fun, like I Spy type blocks of different things that they love to do. Mm-hmm. And that was just, it was so incredibly amazing. And so just an honor to be, you know, 1/100th part of everybody's Splendid Sampler. It's just incredible to watch them take your design and your ideas and your feelings behind it and then incorporate their feelings and their designs and inspiration behind it. It's such an amazing process. So incredibly honored to be part of it.
It is. I mean, I think we're all feeling the same thing because it's just so fun to watch. But then to think about it, we have probably close to 25,000 people who are getting the notices right now, and it'll just grow as it goes along. So that means you'll be seeing your block popping up forever, Melissa.
I know. It's so fun. It is so fun. And to get all these fun little emails and Instagrams and this is mine, and this was my story behind my block. I hope it keeps happening forever, because it puts a smile on my face every day I get one of those emails.
Oh, well, I want to switch gears 1 second, and let's talk about making quilts, because you might be one of the most prolific people out there. And
yeah,
I mean,
I'm the crazy quilt lady. I'll own it.
Because you are just you produce a lot of things. And many of us have to do that. And many of us want to do that, but you know, we can't maybe make quite as much as we want, but you seem to accomplish it. How many quilts did you make last year? Did you end up counting them?
Yes. So last year I did 45. That's not including like my minis and my tote bags and all that kind of jazz. And,
oh, of course.
And then the year before that, I actually did 52. That was the year I was working on all the quilts for my book, Irish Chain Quilts. Mm-hmm. So that kind of blew me away at the end of the year when I counted them up, and I thought, huh, that's like one a week. A little crazy, but a lot of fun.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Do you actually keep a journal or a gallery by year?
Yeah.
I know some
so
people
do. So I have
do.
A gallery on my blog, happyquilting.com.
Okay.
So that I can just keep track of it. And I just kind of put the stats about each quilt, the fabric I use, the size, any special, you know, if it was for a publication or anything like that, just so that over the years I can remember them all as they all go different places.
Oh, my gosh. You are so organized.
Yeah. That's probably how I can be a little prolific. I was an accountant before I was a mom. Probably why I like quilt math so much.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, everything has its exact place. Everybody always teases me when they come over to my sewing room, like, oh, did you clean it up before I got here? And no, I can't create without everything being in its exact organized little spot. So my husband likes to come in and just move the phone over a half an inch or whatever, or angle it a different way, and because he knows it drives me crazy.
Oh, that is so funny. I'm pretty organized, Melissa, but I, for some reason, never did that sort of chart. Maybe because, like, there was no way for me to do it online when I first started, because we didn't have – we have just a regular website. We didn't have, like, blogs or easy to kind of update things. And so now I have all these years to go back and do it. And I keep thinking, if I just start – even if I start to go forward, you know, I think that's a tip for anybody. Like, if you want to document something, try not to think about going back because.
Right. Just start where you're at. Yeah. For sure. Because I still have some from before I started my blog that I'm trying to go back in and do as well, for sure. And I just have, like, a picture of them right now. And then I'll go back and put all the other information in eventually.
Right, because it's a bit overwhelming to think about it, especially if you're like me, and I literally have over 600 pieces that I've never done. Yeah. So, you know, it's just too much.
That is very overwhelming. 600 is very overwhelming.
It's like someday I'll get in there and do that. You have a fun stuff on your website that I just think everybody needs to come and hang out with you. So tell me a little bit about what you do on there.
Oh, I do a little bit of everything. I have probably over 50 quilt tutorials on my blog, and they're under a little tab called Quilt Tutorials. My blog's about as organized as my quilt room.
Yeah.
So, and then I also have a bunch of tutorials on little projects, tote bags and wall hangings and like a caddy for your cutting mat and basically, you know, when you've been writing a blog for a while, 5 years, the tutorials start to build up. And I still like to do a lot of free tutorials for my readers. I'd have quilting videos on there, some free motion quilting videos, some applique basics. I think one of the biggest things that a lot of my readers enjoy are my quilt alongs that I do. I tend to do one a year, and we just have a whole lot of fun with those. And then once we do them, all of the information stays on my blog as well. I know my readers right now are all like, okay, when's the next quilt along? I promised them it would be early spring. It's looking like it's going to be later spring with market and all that, but it is on the planning sheet. So once it's on there, it's going to happen.
It's on the spreadsheet, right?
It is on the spreadsheet, yes. On the to-do list. I think I have 4 different to-do lists at different processes, so, but it's on there.
So are you also, at what point you were quilting for other people, do you still do that?
No, I don't. I've never, like, long arm quilted. I do all of my own stuff on the long arm. But I do a lot of making quilts for other people for, like, market and whatnot. Right now I'm working on 4 different projects, all for market, for different people's booths, and I love that. I love being able to work with other people in the industry. You just make such – everybody's so nice, and it's so easy to make friends across this industry. And then, you know, you do a project with somebody once, and then they're a lifetime friend. So,
yeah, that's probably what I was thinking about, because I think it was at the trade show where somebody was telling me that you had done some work for them. And so I think that you probably did something for their booth. You know, you helped.
Yes.
You know, they had you do something. Okay. So you like to applique like I do.
I know.
What's your favorite technique?
Oh, I love the raw edge applique with a little bit of fusible on it. It's so fun. And I love doing and teaching it in classes, because I don't know how many times I've gone to teach a class on fusible applique, you know, raw edge, and everybody's like, oh, I'm so scared. This is going to be so hard. I've never done applique. And within 20 minutes, it's like, wait, why was I so nervous? It's just so fun, and it opens up this huge, amazing realm of possibilities in your quilt making. And it's just fun to see people start to get that idea of, oh, I can put anything on here that I want. So it's a lot of fun. I think my favorite, well, it's not my favorite to do, but to come out, I make quilts for my alma mater every year for them to donate to homecoming. And I make the school's logo out of applique, and it's about 10 different layers of applique. And it's quite complex, but it's really fun to see it come together.
Wow, that must be quite a project, because many of the logos, so you have to like draft it and do all that crazy stuff.
Yes, all the cutting and the layering. I think sometimes it takes me as long to put the logo together as it does to put the quilt together that I'm putting the logo on.
Right. Because it's all about the logo. Oh, my goodness. So I want to go back to Splendid Sampler a minute.
Yes.
Because you are working your particular quilt, your personal quilt that you're going to make with, along with us, in a color wash of sorts. Tell me how you're planning this.
So my plan is to do monochromatic blocks. And then put them in an Irish chain setting. Surprise, surprise. We know I love the Irish chain. And so the chain will be all in scrappy blacks, and the background will be all white of the chain. And then there'll just be these fun little colored blocks all throughout it. And I am having so much fun with them.
They are so neat to see, because some of them are really tonal and some of them have a little bit more contrast. How are you deciding?
That is such, you know, it's funny that you asked that, because I think as I was approaching each block, it was taking me longer to decide which fabrics I wanted to use than to actually make the block. I'm sure that's what a lot of people are finding working on this Splendid Sampler. And it's really teaching me a whole lot about contrast and shades and tones. When I look at it and I try and decide, okay, do I want this to pop or da-da-da-da, I actually the other day went through and sorted my scrap bins are always sorted by colors, but I went through and resorted the color drawers. So now my blue drawer is like a pile of navy, a pile of aqua, a pile of teal, and it's actually helping me as I go to the Splendid Sampler to, you know, pick out my fabrics a whole lot faster, because I can get the contrast that much quicker, or, you know, I can say, okay, I want this one more tonal, so I can grab one stack that's all in the same color hue, and so my husband got a real kick out of that now I'm organizing my scrap drawers. It takes it to a whole new level.
Yes,
Makes sense. Really fun to, with each one, to just kind of decide which way I want to go with it. And I'm trying not to overthink it too much, which is what I tend to do, and just kind of have fun with it and see where each block goes. And that's been really, really fun, just to kind of let go and not worry about it and know that it's all going to look cute in the end.
Well, Melissa, this has been great to have you on here to chat and give us some insight into what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat, for having me. And I can't wait to see you in May.
Yes, I know. In Utah. Everybody,
yay!
Yeah, everybody needs to visit.
I just have a quick drive.
Yeah, oh, lucky you. Yeah, we're driving cross country.
Oh, fun.
See you there.
See you there. Thanks, Pat.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and our show is brought to you by Motive Fabrics. And I want to give you a little insider tip. If you have not checked out the blog over at Moda, we've announced over there that a new designer coming to the Moda team is a very seasoned designer, Joe Morton. So if you are a fan of Joe's fabric, her first Moda line is called Gratitude, and it is absolutely gorgeous. So you can go see a sneak peek and read about Joe if you haven't met her yet. In your travels, reproductions are her thing, so check it out. Every month I have Mary Abreu here of the to come in and talk to me about something really specific. She writes over at Confessions of a Craft Addict. And so, Mary, today, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about hashtags and how to find things that inspire you or things that can generate some ideas or help you use the things that you have or find things that you didn't know you needed.
I know. I like that last one. Find things we don't know that we need. It's like
Exactly. I love being an enabler. It's kind of the best thing.
You know, the one thing is that the hashtags, there's a lot of funny things. There's like funny YouTube videos about it and stuff, but it's really a very useful tool for anybody. If the funny thing is that you have to understand what it is to be able to use it well. It's actually it's on your keyboard. It's the hashtag. But tell me a little bit about what the purpose is of using it.
Right, a hashtag, and we used to call it a pound sign until I don't know, about 3 to 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And really, a hashtag is a label. Mm-hmm. It's a label that's used on social networking sites that makes it easy for people to mark content that they're sharing and makes it easy for other people to find that kind of content. So it can be some really fun and lightweight things. It can be very topical and newsy. But for us as quilters and sewers, it's a great way to share our content in a way that other people can find it and then use it for inspiration or share it in some way. So, you know, it's about, you know, using that little pound sign, that little hashtag, and then you have a word like quilting or show me the moda. And if you use a phrase, you're not going to have any spaces. And the thing about it is you can't use any spaces or any punctuation in it. So everything is kind of crammed together. Sometimes it makes things look a little bit weird. kind of go, well, wait a minute, what exactly is that supposed to mean? But it's really a way to find and share information with other people who you don't even know, which is kind of a weird thing, but that's kind of what the internet's about.
Yeah, like for the Splendid Sampler, we do the Splendid Sampler, all one word, and that way people can go and see like Melissa's blocks or my blocks, or if Mary, if you make a block, it would show up in like a search term, just as like if you went into Google and just put, you know, brownies because you're looking for brownie recipes. Instead, the hashtag is something people have purposely added when they shared a photo to the text that they wrote.
It's a very intentional way of sharing things, kind of going beyond just the circle of people you may know and letting that kind of go out in a more broad sense.
Right. So one of the fun things and that we talked about earlier, you and I, is that this is used quite heavily on Instagram, and it's quite effective there and on Twitter. There people are doing sort of community sew-alongs or different fun, maybe swaps or fun little projects, and then naming them. Can you give me a couple examples?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lizzie House has been doing teaching her meadow quilt all over the place, so you can look at hashtag meadow quilt and see the results of other people making that quilt. The Splendid Sampler, which you're doing, is one of my favorite things to look and see, in addition to the people that I love to follow, like you and Jane, but to see what other people are doing. There was one recently, the IG Quilt Fest, which is an Instagram quilt fest. That was so much fun to see those different projects. La Passacaglia, which is a quilt from Willene Hammersmith's book. It's actually the cover quilt from Millie Fiore Quilts. There's a huge, massive sew-along for that. And it's like, wow, I've never done English paper piecing before. I think I'll do that. And so, you know, why not start with 2,900 pieces if you've never done it?
They're mind-blowing, those quilts. They're just kaleidoscopes. They're just incredible.
Absolutely. It's really a lot of fun. So you can kind of see other people who are doing that and kind of get, for me, it's been really inspirational, but sort of kind of helped me sort of zero in on things that I like. And what I specifically like about some sort of projects is, you know, is it the colors? Is it the shapes that are coming along? Is it the quilt itself? It's really kind of nice to sort of have that variety that you can see when you look at some of those hashtags. It is kind of, you kind of go down the rabbit hole sort of with that. You could spend a really long amount of time doing it. But it's, yes, it's so worth the tech neck of staring at my phone for 2 hours looking at those.
I know. Once you're standing in line somewhere, you know, waiting for something, it just jump on there and click one of the names or put something in. You do a lot of costuming, historical costume work. Are people tagging those things in that community?
They really are. So it's, for me, it's really great because you'll see not only reproduction costumes, but a lot of original museum pieces and historical photographs and paintings that show some of the detail and some of the colors and things like that. The museum pieces really kind of just blow my mind because it's a great way to sort of see it. And sometimes it's, there'll be a reference to it so that I can go and actually find the museum site where it is and actually zoom in and get a closer look and get different views of things, which is one of the downsides, of course, of Instagram is that you can't, no matter how many times I try, you just cannot zoom in on those photos. It's really kind of sad, but that's good eye candy for me, for someone, I think there really is something for everyone. So if you really like hand quilting or hand piecing, a specific style of quilt block or pattern, if you like art quilts, all of those tags are out there. And sometimes you have to kind of dig around and find what's going to give you the best results of what you're looking for. But it's worth it to kind of see what other people are sharing. And it's worth it for you to take the time to share those things and label those things yourself.
And the interesting part is that it's sort of hard to wrap your head around it at first to realize that there might be, you know, like in the Splendid Sampler, which is easy to visualize now, 20,000 people. And if they put a tag, you know, you're getting random pictures from all different people by using one common tag, one common search term. Jane sent me one time called I Have a Thing for Floors. And, you know, as a quilt maker, yeah, you have to look at it. I have a thing for floors. So people go all around and take pictures of floors, tiles. And as quilt makers, these are a lot of quilt patterns. They're really neat.
Yeah, that's awesome. Too, and I think it's good when you can see things. I mean, they're, you know, a lot of people are inspired by architecture or graffiti or things like that. And just it's a way to find those types of elements. And kind of see that and see inspiration beyond just your little corner of the world and that, you know, 5 square miles, 20 square miles, 30 square miles that you may traverse every week.
You know, one of the other ones that you told me about, which I thought was really neat, is that so many of us want to see how other people set up their studio spaces. And you can go on Pinterest and search sewing room, craft room, studio, you know, sewing studios, stuff like that. But sometimes I think you get more real life when you're like on the Instagram feed.
Yes. Hashtag honest craft room.
honest.
Totally. Yeah. Cause you know, I think it makes me feel better sometimes because I have to be honest. I'm really messy when I work, and it takes a lot of effort for me to not just throw stuff on the floor as I'm cutting or, you know, shove things on top of stuff. So when you see that, and they're not always, you know, completely trashed spaces, but it's really good to see how other people have their spaces, how they work and use them. And sometimes it's great ideas for organization, how to manage some of the supplies that you accumulate and space challenges and things like that everybody confronts. But yeah, I get a certain really good feeling when I see that other people sometimes are just as messy as I am when they're in the middle of 6 things at once.
Yeah. And you might see, like, I just looked right now and I saw that somebody was using a drying rack and, you know, they had some actual clothes drying in their craft room, but also fabric on the same rack. So you might never have thought about using a drying rack.
Yeah, a lot of people actually found one of my posts after I refolded all of my fabric onto comic book boards and organized it on my IKEA bookshelves. And people were like, oh, and I tagged it Honest Craft Room. And people were like, oh, I had no idea that that was something you can do. And I had actually encountered it on some blogs several years ago, but had never had not done that at the time. So people are still discovering things in new ways and finding ways to apply it to their own spaces and their own work habits.
You know, how long have you, let's switch over to Pinterest just for a minute, because that's another place where people can search and find all kinds of things. And I think the search term use there is a little more obvious to what you might do on Google or something else. But using the boards efficiently, we have like maybe 2 minutes, Mary, or a minute and a half. What's some tips on using the board, creating efficient board usage at Pinterest?
I think you really have to think about how you want to use them. You know, when we started, we just kind of randomly threw things up, but it's really hard to find what you've pinned if you put everything quilt-related under quilts. So, you know, think about making more specific categories, whether you're doing colors or blocks or something about scraps, something that kind of helps you accumulate those things but also be able to find them. It's completely worthless to you if you can't find things that you've pinned that you want to refer back to.
Right. Yeah, that is so true. And I have to go through, because I did it like way back when, I don't have names on them sometimes. I thought that I might put a cute name. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me now. So.
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, don't be afraid to go back periodically and delete the things that you no longer love. You know, if visual clutter, even if it's virtual visual clutter, isn't helping you in any way. So it's okay. No one's going to take it personally if you unpin something or delete it. That's your space. Use it how it works for you.
Right. It's just like a folder. It's an idea folder.
It is. And our tastes and our styles change. And I think it's important to recognize that even when we look at we're categorizing something online and making that catalog, it needs to be efficient and useful.
Yeah, I know, like I did one for all log cabin quilts because I was going to design one, you know, and I was looking for different layouts for different colors and how colors were placed. So I had like all these antique log cabin quilts that I had put in one folder.
Oh, I'm going to have to go stalk your Pinterest now. I love log cabins.
I know. It was so fun. And the person I was working with on that said, I just saw you built a new folder. So she spied it. Well, Mary, this has been so great. Thank you for jumping in here again this month.
Oh, wonderful. It's always one of my favorite things to do. So I love getting to chat with you, Pat.
Go out and visit Mary at confessionsofacraftaddict.com, and you can find her on Instagram as well and track her hashtags. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We will be back next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for